This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Marketing Mojo with me, Angeline Tay, and it's the time of the month. We have Open Minds Resources with us today to give us a digital marketing update. It's New Year, and I think we're expecting something different this year. So in the studio, we have Jen Wong and also PJ Sia. Jen Wong is the founder of Open Minds, and PJ is a content strategist at Open Minds Resources. So, you know, first of all, Jen, just tell us a little bit about what's in store for us.
I think 2017 would be a very interesting year in general, even for tech as a big picture year. Specifically for digital media, we are very excited because this is the year where we see a lot of platforms consolidating their functions. It's quite interesting because you see that back then Facebook was just a normal timeline. Right now they're going to live, they're experimenting with different things, which is essentially crossovers. And if you look at Snapchat, prior to this, there were always the platform to go to for in-moment content, self-destruct. But nowadays, they've just launched Memories, which is pretty much Facebook. And when you look at Facebook themselves, now they have Trending Stories, which is essentially Twitter. So it's quite an interesting thing happening right now. And it's there's quite a bit to talk about today. So, but for businesses, all these updates are actually good news.
Yeah, and I think more crossovers the better, right? So just give us a quick item rundown. What will we be focusing today?
Today we'll be spending some time talking about videos as the primary content for 2017, and then we spend a little bit of time talking about the big updates for Instagram as well. And last but not least, we'll be talking about something a little bit more different today, which is on Airbnb.
Oh wow! So first up is videos. PJ, tell us about how videos are on the rise.
So in 2017, you see a lot of the major platforms panning towards video, right? Facebook has Facebook Live. Now it has Facebook 360 Live. They did this on Nat Geo's channel. They were doing a Mars sort of
excavation.
Yeah, not excavation. Okay. These guys were on a place in Hawaii, and they were sort of training to live on Mars. So they did a 360 Live of that. That's when it first appeared. It will only appear late 2017. We also have a new video tab on Facebook.
The video tab is where notifications are, and then there's ones for the video, is it?
So then you just click on it and all the sort of trending videos come up.
Yeah.
WhatsApp now has live video chat. It's like Skype, basically, right? Just on WhatsApp. And Snapchat has a circular video now, so you can get like a new Snapchat glasses. Specialty is that you can, even on landscape or portrait, your video is centered. So you don't have, the video won't turn with your phone. It's just beautifully centered no matter what you do to your phone.
And knowing all these features coming up, right? I mean, why should we take note about all these new features? What can we use with it?
Well, they all might sound alike, all these platforms, as in they want to push video. But as a business, these platforms, they have all these niche audiences, right? So I think as a business, instead of just going for it, you can sort of look at these particular platforms, see if your potential audience is out there, and then use it. It's sort of like it's a menu, right? This can maybe Instagram can give you this audience, and this is what you can do with it. Mm-hmm. So whether you want to use it or not. It's also very in the moment now, right? So I think the production cost is a lot less. Right, so usually when you talk about video, you need the production houses, you need all these guys to come in. But with this new in-the-moment content, you don't need such a big budget, right? You can do it with a smaller budget.
Even just with your mobile phone, you can do it, right? Mm-hmm. Just recording. And it's funny how we've come so far with, you know, blockbuster films, right? With high production budget too, which started out films used to be just one long shot.
Yep.
And we're going back there. And people actually prefer that now, right? Because they are curious. They want to know what's happening at the moment. But now, what's the benefits then with all this Facebook Live, Facebook 360, video tabs, even like circular videos on Snapchat?
I've already told you about the budget portion, right? So you don't need a lot of money to be able to push out this content. For circular videos and 360 videos, 360 Live, they're all really new. So if you get your foot into the game first, right? Like Nat Geo, a lot of people tune into that new video of the Mars project, right? So if you get your foot in, one of the few ones, I would say that you would get a lot more mileage out of doing that video. So that's one of the benefits. Another benefit is that you might also get a lot of analytics capabilities. Mm. A lot of these features are not out yet, so we can't sort of use them, we can't play around with them. But I dare say that they will give us a lot of more analytical capabilities. So you get to know your audience a lot better. You get to know who's watching this, who likes this, who doesn't like it.
Right.
And you can further sort of tailor your content towards what people like.
So which means that the current analytics don't have that feature? I think because a lot of people are already watching videos
on Facebook. But
yeah.
I think they'll further refine it. Because maybe some people like 360. Mm. Maybe some people like 360 with the live function. And some people don't. Mm. So now you sort of get to further look into your audience and see what they like and not like. And then you can further tailor your content and see how you can bring yourself further.
I think it's really interesting that we have so many things happening. As a consumer, it's exciting, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I get to see 360 live as though I'm next to you. But as businesses and marketers, right, should you engage in all of these new features? Sometimes I felt like it's just you're trying to do too many things too.
Well, the short answer is no, simply because while there are so many exciting things going on, and although production cost is cheap, that does not mean that it caters for every business out there. Why I say that is also because depending on different platforms, the production method and what the audience is demanding is also a little bit different. For example, if you go on Snapchat or Instagram Live, people expect a little bit more those tongue-in-cheek production, a little bit behind the scenes, a little bit more casual. You know, maybe they find out more about their favorite actor, actresses, what their brand, how they produce certain things behind the scenes. But on Facebook, usually people do them for maybe more production-driven. So even though when they're going to like what PJ just shared on the 360 Live of the Mars project, now it's different. It's more of an immersive experience that brands try to bring out. So depending on businesses, you then need to identify, hey, what kind of a content capabilities do I have? Mm. Do I have interesting behind the scenes that I can show? Mm. Or am I wanting to give an experience to the customers? And that will really define which platform or which video format you want to go to.
Yeah, so I guess like if you're an accounting firm, you know, trying to sell a service, it's behind the scenes, me behind the computer.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, but it's interesting because you also see a lot of live videos of people just, I don't know, eating in front of the camera, playing games, and people like watching that. Who knows? Accountants may be the next big thing.
Yeah, right? Next up is the Instagram business tools. Mm-hmm. PJ, tell me more about this.
Instagram, prior to this, did not give you any analytical capabilities, right? So if you're a business on Instagram, you're basically just like every other person on Instagram. You post your stuff up, you can see your likes, and you can see who comments. And that's it, right? Mm. So with the new feature, the business tools, you can actually look at your audience a lot better. Mm-hmm. So if you switch to business profile, you need to have a business profile, not a normal profile. You can look at who's viewing your posts, which posts are doing well, how far it reaches, where's your target audience? Is it male or female? You can even buy ads on Facebook, on Instagram. So before this, you have to use Facebook, right? To buy ads on Instagram. So now you can just buy on Instagram itself.
Okay.
Right? And a cool feature of the ad buying now is that you can target people within a radius of a set location.
Right.
Right. So, for example, if you're selling pretzels in BU, right, and you target a set location, which is your store, 5 kilometers around, if you're on Instagram right now, right, because we're in BU, and you would probably see that pretzel ad, and you'd know that there's a pretzel stand in BU.
Right.
Yeah.
So it really triggers call to action immediately.
I would think so, yes.
Okay, that's interesting. But then what if they're brands who already have an existing profile, right? And how can they get those analytics as well, since you said the new Instagram business has analytics?
All they have to do is switch to a business profile.
Okay.
You can't switch back. So you gotta...
Once you've gone business, you can't go back personal.
You gotta make sure, right? And once you switch, the analytics are just there. You can just click on it and explore around.
And the analytics is from that day you switch onward, or you can actually track back what happened previously?
As of now, the analytics are only upon the day you switch. Mm. And then you probably need to give it about 12 hours for them to just start gathering data for all the features to be updated and so on. But one cool thing about the business profile, apart from analytics, is that you are able to place call to action in your profile. Now, apart from just sending private message, which is what Instagram is now doing for the personal pages, right now you can say click and then you send them to your website or you can send them to a form. Mm. So that gives a little bit more mileage or flexibility for businesses. Mm.
So that's Instagram business. And up next, we'll focus on Instagram shopping. This is Marketing Mojo with Jen Wong, founder of Open Minds Resources, and PJ Sia. He's a content strategist at Open Minds, giving us a monthly digital marketing update. So stay with us. This is Marketing Mojo, BFM 89.9.
Better Finance Management, BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Marketing Mojo with me, Angeline Tay, and we have Jen Wong. He's the founder of Open Minds Resources together with PJ Sia. He's a content strategist at Open Minds. They're here with us every month just to give us updates within the realm of digital marketing, right? So we've highlighted videos on the rise and Instagram business tools. We're moving on to Instagram shopping. So Jen, tell us a little bit about this feature.
Personally, I'm very excited about Instagram shopping simply because if you look at how businesses are on Instagram these days, they are already using Instagram as an e-commerce platform. Just that currently, most businesses rely on the private messaging, comments, you know, or they drop an email link, click to my website.
PM me,
exactly. The PM culture is really big in Malaysia, still is. But Instagram is trying to go into a different direction right now. They've recognized that, hey, since businesses are doing this, can we make things different? So Instagram shopping is actually still in beta. They're actually testing with only about 20 brands in US. So we'll actually see it maybe come out late 2017 or so. But it's really something to watch because what it really does is that it allows brands right now on their regular Instagram post, their image, to tag up to 5 products. Right. So imagine right now, if I'm a fashion label, I have this model dressed up in the whole attire and all that. Instead of just hashtagging OOTD, outfit of the day, I can just tag these products, the bag, and I'll put in the details, the price. And when somebody taps on it, they'll be automatically be brought to the description and even the website. So you can actually link a call to action directly on the image itself. And the best part is this feature is not exactly new to users because the even on a personal basis, users have been using it to tag their friends, tag cafes, I do not know. And right now, it's just an additional step linking the products to the brand.
Wow, this is like really tapping into impulse buying, right? Mm-hmm. So you're scrolling down your Instagram, it's like, hey, this looks really good. And then you accidentally click it. Imagine if you don't know if there's such a feature. It's like, oh, wow, I can actually get this code right now.
Exactly.
Wow, this is dangerous.
Yeah, and even if it's not on impulse, right? Concurrently, in fact, Instagram has just rolled this out a couple of weeks back where you can actually save the picture for later viewing.
Oh, I'm doing that now, actually.
Exactly.
You can save photos.
Exactly, they rolled that out quite recently as well. So this is actually in conjunction with Instagram shopping.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Add to cart.
Add to cart. Okay. Anything else? What are the benefits for having Instagram shopping for brands, you know?
I think one of the biggest benefits for brands is that you don't need to restart your brand presence on Instagram. I mean, if you're on Facebook and you're using it on a personal basis, then you start your Facebook brand page, you basically need to amass followers from scratch. Mm. But what Instagram allows you to do right now is that you can just convert whatever you have and then access these features just like that. So the boundaries are lower, it's easier for you to cross over. And for brands that has always been on retail, I think this is the best way for you to do it. If you're on Instagram and you're already tagging your products, this is the way in. It just acts as a very natural and organic bridge between your Instagram profile and your website. So, or even for blog, for that matter, it's just seamless as it is.
Yeah, I think it's obvious when you said if a brand has a bigger following on Instagram versus Facebook. Mm-hmm. But what if there is a brand that has presence in Instagram and Facebook? And in the last round you came, we talked about Facebook Marketplace.
Yep.
And it's somewhat similar, I think. Mm-hmm. So how then can people decide, or they actually duplicate the work, one on Facebook platform, one on Instagram platform?
That's a very good question. To be honest, I mean, first and foremost, Instagram is a part of Facebook right now.
So
that's why we probably see they are trying to sync up the features across both platforms. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, there's still some sort of a demographic preference when it comes to both Facebook and Instagram. On Facebook, people are still looking at different types of content, while e-commerce is just one part out of the events that we talked about. Mm. We talked about the different type of videos that's coming up. So there's many things happening on Facebook itself.
Yeah.
But some brands naturally do better on Instagram.
Yeah.
You look at the cafes, I mean, a very simple comparison. On Instagram, they do much better than on Facebook. And for brands like that, you may just want to focus on where your strengths are and leave the other for other type of content, maybe.
Is there anything else that we should look at when it comes to Instagram shopping?
Actually, yes. Because when we look at Facebook, when we talk about Facebook in the last month, and we talk about how Facebook has this marketplace thing, now, here's one of the main differences. When you use Facebook marketplaces, unfortunately, at this point of time, right, what appears on Facebook looks like an ad. Yeah, maybe they will change this when they launch it, but on Instagram, it looks exactly like a normal content.
Yeah.
It just looks like how you usually post and tag somebody. And I think that's the beauty of it, using Instagram for e-commerce as well. I think customers these days don't really like looking at ads, or the word sponsored there just turns them off, and this just solves the problem.
Yeah, I think it's good news for brands, but as a user, right, it's quite intrusive. Because I know the people I follow, and then suddenly when I was scrolling down and suddenly I see something that I'm not familiar or something completely new, it's definitely caught my attention.
Yeah.
But then I felt like, how can I not have this on my timeline? Do you think that would be the case, or?
That would be. That's why what Instagram is doing right now, that it's not making it appear as an ad, would definitely help. In fact, the recent update in Instagram allows you to actually click or tap on the top right to say, don't show me this kind of ads.
Ooh.
Yeah, they never had this before, but now it's there. Mm. So I think they've also spotted this similar annoyance, maybe.
Yeah, and, it's giving users an option as
yes,
well.
Yes, that's right.
I was just sharing with you that my team was just giving us a report about our BFM Enterprise mm-hmm. Facebook page. And there were a few posts that we realized people actually hide. It's like, hide this post or hide all the posts from BFM Enterprise. And we were like shocked. We didn't know that we could actually, you know, track this kind of insights on our Facebook. So it's interesting to know what kind of post annoys people too.
Yeah, it is. It does help.
Yeah. And lastly, which is very interesting, is Airbnb experiences.
Mm-hmm.
What is this about?
It's, okay, I mean, I think many of us know what Airbnb essentially does. They are like a homestay, you know, and along all these years, they have become very mainstream among all the travelers out there, even myself. But the problem with this is that all these years they've been operating, they've been going head on with hotels and the existing hostels. And I mean, in some countries, it's a big lawsuit because people are saying it's not safe and so on. But with Airbnb experiences, this allows hosts, you don't necessarily need to host an apartment or a building anymore. You can host what they call experiences, which is essentially programs that you can offer to guests. So it ranges anything from maybe Penang food trip all the way to visiting all the spas outlet down in KL or something along those lines. You can just design experiences and people can buy them. And instead of hosting these guests in your home, right now you host them as you would like a tour guide.
So it's like a travel agents now.
Yes.
And use Airbnb.
Exactly. And this is interesting because back then you need to own a piece of property before you can actually tap into this business. And right now your Airbnb has opened up opportunities for travel agents or even part-timers to just go in and create experiences for travelers to come in. In fact, we have also known businesses that took this opportunity to create experiences revolving their businesses.
Wow.
So let's say if I'm a bakery, I can do a cafe hop in PJ maybe. And that helps. And one of it happens to be my cafe.
Mm.
Yeah, and that creates a different kind of experiences. And I personally think Airbnb is pretty smart.
Yeah.
With this, then they do not need to create the experiences themselves. And it's really defined by the different locals and it differs from different culture and so on.
But when it comes to Malaysian brands who want to tap into it, do you have any ideas in mind already of what they can do? Like you said, cafe hopping would be a popular one. But this is ultimately is attracting tourists, right?
Mm-hmm.
So unless your business revolves around, you know, spotting tourists as your target market, then you could use
it. But it's a little bit different as well right now, because if you were to download the Airbnb app, it is starting to give you localized information as well. There's an experience section that actually just shows you what kind of experiences you can get in the specific radius or in the city that you're in. I think what Airbnb is trying to experiment is to also see how they can tap into the locals surrounding that area.
Also last week we covered about Airbnb acquiring a restaurant reservation app mm-hmm. called Resy as well, right?
Yep.
So you can see they're actually making huge moves beyond just property. And thank you so much for your time. And that's the wrap up for this month's digital marketing updates. And just a quick rundown again, we did how videos are on the rise, focusing on Facebook Live, Facebook 360, circular videos on Snapchat. The second on the agenda was Instagram shopping, Instagram business, and lastly was the Airbnb experiences. Jen Wong, founder of Open Minds Resources, and PJ Sia, he's the content strategist at Open Minds Resources as well. They'll be back with us next month to give another roundup of the digital marketing updates. If you missed out part of this interview, it's available on our BFM app. And thank you for listening. I'm Angeline Tay. This has been Marketing Mojo BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.